Who could imagine a world where having a baby is a crime?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown here in Hong Kong. I've got a few more days to be here, actually two more days of teaching and then the full day and a half of travel back to the States. Thanks for your prayer support. I've been blessed. I've been encouraged. I've been invigorated teaching and pouring into these Chinese students here in Hong Kong from the mainland. And I want to share a special prayer request with you in a moment, but I won't be taking calls today, and on this Wednesday, as we focus on the world and focus on moral and cultural issues, I want you to sit back and drink in everything that we talk about today, about marriage, family, babies, children, and abortion. And I want to say this plainly, everyone listening, all of the ladies listening who've had abortions, and some of you are deeply wounded by the pain of abortion to this day, I want to remind you that there is mercy and grace in God. I want to remind you that having an abortion is not an unforgivable sin. For men who participated in the abortion, who funded the abortion, who perhaps pressed the woman to have the abortion, pressed the mother of your child to have the abortion, there is forgiveness in Jesus. And if you've repented and been forgiven, then receive his forgiveness and say, Lord, how can I be an ambassador of life? And how can I be used as an ambassador for good? And perhaps I'm speaking to someone today, and your job is being an abortion provider. You're a receptionist in an abortion clinic, what many would call an abortion mill. You're a doctor. You're a nurse. I want you to step back and consider the larger picture. What happens when we degrade and denigrate life? What happens when we say that the most unprotected children, unpredicted human beings in our society, children in the womb, are not worthy of protection? What happens when life is something that can be thrown away? Step back and consider. Perhaps it's the plan of God, as I broadcast from Hong Kong, that you are listening to this show today. And if you're touched, if you have a need, if God's dealing with you, by all means, drop us a line at info@askdrbrown.org. Info, I-N-F-O, info@askdrbrown.org, whether it's a prayer need or whether you're shouting for help. Also, those of you who really want to get involved in a pro-life movement in a holistic, life-changing way, but you don't know what to do or how to go about it, right here in the city of Charlotte, I say right here, I'm in Hong Kong now, but in the city of Charlotte where we're based, right outside of Charlotte, there's an organization called Cities for Life. And just looking at the website, looking at the stats there, it says since 2008, babies saved in Charlotte, 1,590. These are mothers that were going to abort their children and ended up not doing it. And some of them that have their babies and keep them, some give them up for adoption. So far in 2012, 373 babies saved in Charlotte. That's the first little over week of the year. That's, in all of last year, 373. That's an extraordinary number, obviously impossible for the first week, but that's an extraordinary number. There are ways to get involved, make a difference. Go to Cities for Life, the number four, Cities for Life. org. Okay, special prayer request. The end of the day on Friday, which will be 13 hours early for you, so you can start praying for this now. I'm going to be laying hands on the 44 students in my class, praying for God's touch, for God's fire. Many of them come from backgrounds where they're not as experienced in things of the Spirit as others might be, but these are dynamic people with a great heart for God, and they're really looking forward to it. I'm doing it with the blessing of the seminary here. So would you pray for the fire to fall as we lay hands on these students at the end of the week? Yeah.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much, friends, for joining us on a special broadcast from Hong Kong. Michael Brown, blessed, delighted, privileged to be with you. I'm just so blessed and grateful to the Lord that I can be here in Hong Kong, pouring into these Chinese pastors and leaders and students of the Word and young people and older people, pouring in the book of Jeremiah and principles about prophetic ministry in God's heart, and then come to you and be with you on radio around America and around the world. I'm blessed. I'm privileged. It's an honor to be serving God and have the privilege of serving each of you. And I pray that the things that we talk about on the broadcast today, I won't be taking calls, but I pray the things we talk about, as we talk about the consequences of abortion, as we talk about what God is doing in the restoration of the value of life, when we talk about what happens when we degrade and denigrate life beginning in the womb, I really hope and pray that this show will impact you deeply. I don't talk about these things lightly. And I want to say again, if you've had an abortion, if you're involved in abortion today, if you're involved in it today, you need to turn to God. You need to turn away from what you're doing. You need to recognize this is the shedding of innocent blood. And you need to turn to God for mercy and forgiveness. But to everyone who's had an abortion or been involved in it, there is mercy, there is forgiveness. You do not have to live under condemnation. And if the things I talk about are too heavy for you, then step back and put something else on the radio or just worship the Lord or pray for a while. Everyone else, listen carefully. I mentioned yesterday that someone came up to me for prayer, a man in the class. Again, these are all Chinese pastors and leaders and those in training from the mainland in China, where there remains a one-child policy, one child per couple, period. They were concerned about population growth getting out of control, and of course it was a crazy policy, a policy so dangerous for the well-being of the future generations, along with being so wrong on so many levels. Well, what this means is that if you're pregnant with a second child, then you can be forced to have an abortion or put under tremendous pressure to have an abortion. And let's say you're a typical traditional Chinese family and you want there to be a male heir. Well, you find out you're pregnant with a girl. Of course, you're more inclined to abort the girl. And tragically, infanticide is still practiced. In some places in China, it's still commonplace that if the couple doesn't want the baby, maybe it's a girl and they want a boy, they just discard the child at birth. One of our missionaries was even telling us about witnessing this with his own eyes. That he saw this with his own eyes, that he was in a village and they showed him, this is the place where we throw out the unwanted babies. And in some cases, the baby that's going to be discarded is a second child, because there are severe penalties for having the second child, severe fines for having the second child, not just at that time, but for years to come. So I've had a lot of people ask me to pray for them for many, many different situations, but this was a first. Pray for us. We just, my wife is pregnant. We found out she's pregnant with our second child, and you know, they want to have the child, and scripturally, the Word is so full of truth about children being a blessing from the Lord, but our society looks at this in such different ways today that in many cases, a child is just an unwanted commodity, or a child is a punishment for an unplanned pregnancy. And I want you to consider what has happened as a result of the denigrating of life, as a result of the idea that children don't matter, that children aren't important. Mark Stein, in his book, America Alone, says this: the single most important fact about the early 21st century is the rapid aging of almost every developed nation other than the United States. Canada, Europe, and Japan are getting old fast, older than any functioning society has ever been, and faster than any has ever aged. A society ages when its birth rate falls and it finds itself with fewer children and more grandparents. For a stable population, that is no growth, no decline, just a million folks in 1950, a million in 1980, a million in 2010, you need a total fertility rate of 2.1 live births per woman. That's what America has, 2.1 give or take. By the way, the reason it's at that level is primarily because of immigration, because of foreigners that are now becoming part of our country, many from Mexico and other countries that have a higher birth rate, at least in the first generation. That's why America is still at around 2.1 live births per woman. Canada is at 1.8. This is Mark Stein's book, America Alone. Canada has 1.48, an all-time low, and a more revealing difference between the Great Satan and the Great White North than any of the stuff, socialized health care, fewer handouts, more UN peacekeepers, etc., that Canucks usually brag about. So Mark Stein is getting a little sarcastic there, as he often does. Europe as a whole has 1.38 live births per woman. Japan, 1.32. Russia, 1.14. These countries are more precisely, these people are going out of business. And he says, so what happens when the whole nation, and in Europe, the entire continent, has a profile closer to the decrepit mill town than to the Sun Belt suburb? In other words, you do not have a younger generation to now provide for and sustain the older generation, and you will have societal collapse. And statistically, countries who've dropped under this birth rate of 2.1 live births per woman, societies who've dropped below that for any period of time have not remained. They have not endured as societies. This is just a larger result, you could say, a larger part of the mentality that denigrates children, that looks at babies as just something unwanted. Now, let me say again, some of you have had abortions and went through agonizing decisions, and you say, look, Mike, it's not that easy. I'm not saying that it's always easy. I recognize that some mothers tremble about bringing another child into the world when they think this is another mouth that we can't feed. I'm not saying that these decisions are always made in a cavalier way. I'm saying it's a larger mentality, a larger mindset that says having children, having babies is not important, and that says a baby in the womb is not a full person and is not deserving of life, liberty, and protection under the law. If you want to hear some shockers, some stats that I saw online that apparently just based on the source are considered reliable, in terms of numbers of abortions per year, China, number one, over a billion people, and then the one child per family policy. China, 7,930,000 abortions annually. So almost 8 million abortions annually. And that's 26.1 per 1,000 women. Russian Federation, 2,287,300. That is 68.4 per 1,000 women. 68.4 per 1,000 women. That's an extraordinarily high rate. Friends of mine who have worked and ministered in Russia for some years have told me how common it is to meet Russian women who have 6, 7, 8, 9 abortions. Vietnam. Well, I was not aware of this. 1,520,000 abortions per year in Vietnam, which amounts to 83.3 per 1,000 women. And these are from pro-abortion statistics, the Alan Guttmacher Institute report from a few years back. United States, 1,365,700, 22.9 abortions per 1,000 women. And Ukraine, 635,600, which is 57.2 per 1,000 women. Shocking, devastating. We're looking now at the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, bringing horrific judgment on America. You say, well, we're still here. We've slaughtered 50 million of our little ones in the womb. Isn't that judgment in and of itself, let alone the implications for future generations? It brings with it a terrible degrading of life. Friends, go to the website citiesforlife.org. Cities4life.org. And get some practical inspiration. See what one group is doing in one city and how this can spread across the country. And if you do not yet have the free CD we're sending out this entire week, the most important message I've ever preached in my life, a life and death kind of message we're sending out free on CD to listen to in your car, your computer, call this number, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. If you can help with a gift, that's wonderful, but get it. It's a free offer, 1-800-278-9978. We'll be back from Hong Kong after the break.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown still in Hong Kong and got a couple days more of teaching and then a closing ceremony and prayer for those that have been through this intensive 7-day class with, what do we have, a total of 36 teaching sessions, something like that, and then chapel each morning, and then the journey home. And I'm asking for prayer for Friday. We're 13 hours ahead here, so pray Thursday, pray early Friday. We plan to pray for the students, lay hands on the students, the 44 students in my Jeremiah class on the last day. Just praying for fresh fire and grace and anointing of the Spirit so God can use them mightily as they return to mainland China. I'm not taking calls today, but be sure you've written this number down, 1-800-278-9978. That's the number to call to receive the free CD we're sending out all this week. The more we send out, the happier we will be. This is essential listening. Your life will be deeply impacted by this message, I assure you. Multiplied thousands have been impacted by this over the years, and it tends to stay with them for life. So get it. It's free. 1-800-278-9978. Those that can help with a gift of support, wonderful. We could really use it, especially when I'm away for this length of time. But please, everyone, give a call. 1-800-278-9978. We're talking about the destructive fruit of abortion, of the larger mentality. When life is denigrated, beginning in the womb, it brings about a denigration of life in many, many other ways. And then you have things that go so far as mainland China, where you have now an aging population and a one-child per family policy, which has produced tens of millions, or what? For 100 million abortions, I don't know what the exact number is, don't have it in front of me, but perhaps on average 8 million abortions a year. And then infanticide, babies abandoned, babies just discarded because the couples, it's a second child and they're not allowed to have a second child, and they could get into terrible trouble because of it. And there could be severe fines or other punishments, not just for that time, but ongoing for years to come. Or the couple wants a boy and they have a girl. Well, discard the girl. I mean, these things still happen. There's a report in globalpost.com. I was researching this from November of last year, end of November of last year, citing an aging population and increasing gender gap. China is likely to review and potentially change its one-child policy in the new year, which would be 2013, the China Daily reported today. That country's Population, Resources, and Environment Committee submitted proposals that most notably suggested allowing urban parents to have a second child. It's still extraordinary to limit it like that, but that's what's happening. China is home to 1.34 billion people and has grappled with the unpopular one-child policy since it was implemented in 1979. So just think, 1973, Roe v. Wade, becomes the law of the land here in America. Abortion on demand for any reason at any time of the pregnancy is basically what that Roe v. Wade ruling brings about. And remember, it was based on a fraud. It was based on a complete fraud that the woman involved with this was, her whole story was not true. And the whole basis of getting this case to court was based on falsehood and lies. And this woman, Norma Covey, has since come to faith and is a follower of Jesus. And, of course, hates what she was involved with and has worked through the years to help see Roe v. Wade overturned. But here China implements this policy, 1979. And as the article states, the policy has led to many couples aborting girls, which created a significant gap in size between populations of men and women. There is a disproportionate number of men compared to women, which also means less availability to find a wife to marry and have children. And then the population is getting older and older, and it doesn't have a younger generation to care for it and support it. This, friends, is epidemic, not just in China, but in other countries in the world as well. And there are other implications. There are other things that happen as a result of the denigration of life in the womb. Here, consider this. Out-of-wedlock births have been on the rise worldwide. The further breakdown of marriage and family, the further breakdown of the understanding that a man and woman come together and they make a lifelong union, and then out of that union, children are born who are then joined to their mother and father. Here's a report back in 2009 talking about, in USA Today, about how out-of-wedlock births are on the rise worldwide. Among 14 countries analyzed in the report by the National Center for Health Statistics, the percentage of all live unmarried births in the USA, 40% in 2007, ranked somewhere in the middle of these 14 countries analyzed. What? 40% of all babies born in America are born out of wedlock, and the majority of first babies born to women now are out of wedlock. Countries with a higher proportion of births to unmarried mothers include Iceland, Sweden, Norway, France, Denmark. Aren't these enlightened countries? Just look at these stats. Oh, boy. UK, 44% of all births out of wedlock. And these stats are a few years older. They may be higher now. Denmark, 46%. France, 50%. Norway, 54%. Sweden, 55%. Iceland, 66%. We are talking about massive breakdown of the most fundamental structures of society. Massive breakdown in terms of the importance of babies and children, the importance of joining kids with a mom and dad. And a lot of this, friends, a whole lot of it flows from the denigration of that child in the womb and the failure to recognize that child as a full person. And as ancient Israel was judged by God, as I'm teaching in the book of Jeremiah, for the slaughter of the innocents, the killing of babies, this is something that is plaguing our world today. May God have mercy on us. Friends, the tide is turning, but we need to do more. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978, and just ask for the free CD we're sending out. If you feel prompted to help with a gift or become a monthly torchbearer, that would really be a great blessing to us. But we want to send these out, as many as possible, a life-changing message based on one Hebrew word that will open up in front of you in a way that might just be the most important thing you hear this year or even in your life. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. To find out practical things you can do about abortion, go to Cities, number 4 Life, citiesforlife.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, coming away from Hong Kong. A couple more days of teaching after this, and then whatever it is, about 30 hours travel back to the States. I've been blessed. Schedule at times has just been a little bit wearying, but then I'm immediately invigorated and strengthened. So thank you for praying and standing with us, and I trust that you're being helped and edified and blessed by these broadcasts from Hong Kong. Today we're focusing on a very serious subject, the subject of abortion, and with it the larger implications of what happens when life in the womb is denigrated, when the most innocent civilians of our society, those most in need of protection and care, babies in the womb, are neglected or terminated. We're coming up on 40 years of Roe v. Wade in America, that horrific Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion on demand for any reason at any time in the pregnancy. And that's basically what it comes down to. Thankfully, the pro-life movement remains strong in America. Thankfully, public opinion has shifted in many ways regarding abortion. Tragically, we have seen over 50 million babies aborted. Tragically, there's still more than a million plus abortions every year here in America. Tragically, a radically pro-abortion Democrat party was not rejected by the nation for its abortion stance, but was reelected president and Senate. So we have some work ahead for us, and I want to say again, those of you who've aborted babies, if you've asked the Lord for forgiveness, you need to receive that forgiveness and be sure of it. Those contemplating abortion, it's a wrong decision. It's never justified, no matter how painful the circumstances. There is hope. There is life. If God has granted life to that baby in the womb, don't be the one to decide to take it away. And through this entire broadcast, I'm pointing people to a website from some friends of mine in the Charlotte area, citiesforlife.org. It's the number four, cities, number four, life, citiesforlife.org. They're doing a great work in Charlotte, and what they're doing in Charlotte can be replicated in other parts of the country. So go there. And if you're struggling, if you have a need, if you are involved right now in providing abortion, if you're under conviction, if you need help, jot us a line, write to us at info@askdrbrown.org. If you want to call, just go to our website. There's a number to call, but go to info@askdrbrown.org. I'm not taking live calls during this show today. Listen to what Mother Teresa said. Life is a gift that God has given us. That life is present even in the unborn. A human hand should never end a life. I am convinced that the screams of the children whose lives have been terminated before their birth reach God's ears. And with multiplied millions, 10, 20 million babies aborted every year. God knows the exact numbers. I'm throwing out numbers that are so staggering for us to consider. But can you imagine the cries that go to the heart of God? Mother Teresa said, by abortion, the mother kills even her own child to solve her problems. And by abortion, the father is told that he does not have to take any responsibility at all for the child he has brought into the world. That father is likely to put other women into the same trouble, so abortion leads to abortion. Any country that accepts abortion is not teaching its people to love, but to use violence to get what they want. That is why the greatest destroyer of love and peace is abortion. Unlike children, unborn children are among the poorest of the poor. They are so close to God. I always ask doctors at hospitals in India never to kill an unborn child. If there's no one who wants it, I will take it. By God's grace, may the horror of abortion be eradicated from our nation in the coming years. Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown coming away from Hong Kong, talking about the destructive fruit, the horrible fruit that comes from the sin of abortion. Not just the taking of the life in the womb, but what it also does to the mother, what it also does to the father, what it also says on a larger level to society as a whole, as far as the devaluing of human life, and then sex for recreation. One of the things that really shaped America was 1960, the pill was released, and birth control pill, and now women could much more freely have sex out of wedlock, and men didn't have to worry about consequences so much. This was not something that got a lot of attention, but it is something that played a direct role in the sexual revolution of the 60s, whose negative destructive fruit we are reaping today in an ongoing way. I'm not saying that all birth control for all reasons is sinful. I know some who hold to that, except for the health of the mother. No, I do not hold to that all birth control is always sin for all reasons. I would differ with my Catholic friends over that, although I appreciate their pro-life voice and their larger stand in terms of the value of life in the womb. But once sex is separated from procreation and is just a matter of recreation, yes, sex is given within marriage for enjoyment and intimacy, but when sex is just a matter of recreation and is separated from procreation, it brings with it so many other implications. The implications, what does that mean for moms and dads and families and couples? What is it? It means a breakdown on so many levels. You end up having your trophy wife and your trophy child later in life. Or here's a woman, 39 years old, not married, doesn't plan on getting married, wants to have a baby, so you just go to a sperm donor and have a baby. Then this kid grows up never knowing who the father really is, and so on. And you know, here's what you end up with. Here's what you end up with. I'm just looking at some news headlines. How about this? February 17th, 2012, New York Times. For women under 30, most births occur outside marriage. Do you ever think you'd see that happen in your day? Some of you are listening, you're 16, it's like, yeah, isn't that normal? Some of you are listening, you're 76, think, I can't imagine that's the norm. Here's a story, Lorain, Ohio. It used to be called illegitimacy. It's New York Times, again, February of last year. It used to be called illegitimacy. Now it's the new normal. After steadily rising for five decades, the share of children born to unmarried women has crossed a threshold. More than half of births to women under 30 occur outside marriage. Once largely limited to poor women and minorities, motherhood without marriage has settled deeply into middle America. The fastest growth in the last two decades has occurred among white women in their 20s who have some college education but no four-year degree, according to Child Trends, etc. Among mothers of all ages, a majority, 59% in 2009, are married when they have children, but the surge of births outside marriage among younger women, nearly two-thirds of children in the United States are born to mothers under 30, is both the symbol of the transforming family and a hint of coming generational change. You say, oh, well, that's good. They're having babies. No, you have to understand this is a larger, part of a larger picture. Part of the larger picture of you don't need to have a mom and dad to have a kid. You don't need to have a family in which to raise a kid. And we'll abort kids if we don't want them. And then when we're good and ready, then we'll have one. Or it's a different mentality. That's my point. It's all part of the larger breakdown of marriage, family, children. How about this article? Washington Times. This was a couple weeks ago, December 25th, 2012. Christmas Day article. Fathers disappear from households across America. Nicole Hawkins' three daughters have matching glittery boots, but none has the same father. Each has uniquely colored ties in her hair, but none has a dad present in her life. As another single mother on Sumner Road decked her row house stoop with Christmas lights and a plastic Santa, Ms. Hawkins recalled that her middle child's father has never spent a holiday or birthday with her in her neighborhood in Southeast Washington. One in 10, Washington, D.C., one in 10 children live with both. I'm reading this article and these stats, but it just hits me. One in 10 children live with both parents, and 84% live with only their mother. You say, oh, yeah, well, I mean, who wants to bring another kid into that situation? Abortion's what we should do. No. What we need to do is recognize the level of attack on the family. What we need to do is recognize what starts happening when we abort kids because they're inconvenient or they're not what we're asking for, or just wasn't the right situation to bring a kid into the world. You know, and we want things to be a little bit more stable. Or now you have designer babies where people are going to try to pick how they want the baby to be in the womb. What if it's not like that? Would you just abort the kid? Just abort them. It's a larger issue. And, you know, in ancient Israel, the children of Israel, the children of Judah, went so far as to sacrifice their children to Molech, to the god Molech. From accounts that we have, you had this giant idol, kind of a giant furnace, but it was an actual idol. You know, the arms and the legs of this idol and what would be the lap would be steel. That's the furnace. And little children and babies were burned alive there to this god. You think, how could anyone do that? You say, well, you know, in the womb, at least we don't see what we're doing. Well, there's enough evidence to see. Look at the ultrasound before you do it. Look at the ultrasound and then look at the discarded babies in the dumpster afterwards. When the children of Israel committed this sin, it was what pushed things over and God's wrath had to come. It's a reason that we tremble for America and for the nations because of this terrible ongoing sin. And with it brings other implications in terms of destruction of family. And then with it brings more and more breakdown in terms of moms and dads raising kids together. It's all part of the larger problem. And that's why the church, by God's grace, must rise up with a pro-life answer. You say, Mike, I don't hear you talk about this a lot. It is always something for many years that has been a burden and a concern. And many of my friends and colleagues have been involved in pro-life ministry and work for years. And our students and members of our church for years and years have been involved with this and are involved with this. God has not called me to give primary energy and effort to this, but to affirm, to strengthen, to help raise up laborers to be involved in pro-life work. And as we come to the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, and as here in Hong Kong, a Chinese brother asked me to pray for him because his wife is pregnant with their second child, and they go ahead and have that second child. There are severe penalties and severe fines associated with it, and of course they're going to have the baby. This is an age where kids, where family, where marriage has been so cast down in so many societies around the world that countries will literally be dying out in a couple of generations because there is no support system for the coming generations. Mother Teresa said this, you know, people worry all the time about innocent children being killed in wars and they try to prevent this. But what hope is there in stopping it if mothers kill their own children? She said, we must not be surprised when we hear of murders, of killings, of war, of hatred. If a mother can kill her own child, what is left but for us to kill each other? Once again, friends, if you're listening and say, man, you're condemning me. I had an abortion 5 years ago, but you're condemning me. The last thing I want to do is bring up wounds from the past if you've repented and asked the Lord for mercy. He's gracious, he's forgiving, he's kind. He even forgives the sin of abortion. Receive his grace, receive his forgiveness. If you're involved in this in the past, receive his grace, receive his forgiveness. If you haven't confessed and acknowledged your sin before God, if you haven't turned to him for mercy, for forgiveness, you need to, because this blood does hang over your head, and you are guilty in his sight. But he's merciful and compassionate. He loves to forgive. And Jesus, who hung on the cross, died for those sins as well. And that little one you aborted is in the presence of God right now. And you can make a difference for life. You can make a difference for life. For those who say, what do I do? Let me encourage you to visit the website of some of my colleagues in Charlotte, North Carolina, citiesforlife.org. Use the number 4, citiesforlife.org. I also have it up on my website. Go to askdrbrown.org and just click on the line of fire. And you can go to citiesforlife.org and find out constructive things you can do to make a difference.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, thanks so much for being part of a special broadcast here from Hong Kong as I broadcast from my hotel room in Hong Kong, teaching from 9 to noon and then 3 to 6 each day. The book of Jeremiah to Chinese pastors, leaders, students that have come over from the mainland for this intensive 7-day course. And then we have chapel 8 to 9 in the morning. And then doing radio, the broadcast is live from 3 to 5 a.m. So it's been a full day of teaching, ministry, radio, getting some sleep and naps in between. And I'm great. I'm strong. So thank you for praying and supporting. And some days I've specially recorded a broadcast here from Hong Kong that I thought would be important to share with you. And today is one of those broadcasts. If you miss any part of the show, as we talk about abortion, pro-life, as we talk about the larger implications of abortion and a kid, it's almost like a designer kid, just want a kid at a certain time or a trophy wife, or just as opposed to the natural cycle of life and reproduction and blessing of the next generation. We've talked about a lot of important issues, shared some disturbing quotes and stats with you, as well as offered hope and encouragement to those who have been involved in abortion in the past. If you missed any part of the show, go to askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, and you can listen to the entire broadcast. There's a report on LifeSite News, 2 days old, January 7th. Facebook bans SNL, Saturday Night Live star, Victoria Jackson for posting graphic abortion photo. What? Yeah, that's the report on LifeSiteNews.com. A few facts. The left heralds abortion as a constitutional right. Facebook allows only people age 13 and over to create personal pages. In other words, every female on Facebook has the legal right to abort. Yeah, 13 and over, is that in every state? Well, certainly in many locations. Facebook allows a pro-abortion activist to post instructions on how to commit illegal self-abortions. Wow. Facebook briefly censored the instructions, but reposted... I just scrolled down on the page and saw an abortion picture. I hadn't read that far yet, and it's very intense. Facebook briefly censored the instructions, but reposted them and apologized. So logically and objectively speaking, why in the world would Facebook censor information about abortion? Isn't Facebook for full disclosure and informed consent? Would Facebook actually help promote a surgical procedure, but censor what that procedure entails? Yes, Facebook does this, and repeatedly by removing photos showing the reality of abortion. The latest victim of Facebook censorship is Victoria Jackson. I'm not familiar with her, but apparently a star on Saturday Night Live. I'm not familiar with Saturday Night Live. So all these, yeah, sorry, it's not a show I've watched. Yes, Facebook does this, and repeatedly by removing photos showing the reality of abortion. So Victoria Jackson posted over the weekend, Facebook just banned me for 24 hours because of my pro-life article. I'm just looking at a very intense picture here. I think it was the photo of an aborted baby, so they can do it, but they can't look at it? Good for you, Victoria Jackson. So you can commit the act of abortion, but not look at the fruit of that act? Victoria was referring to this Facebook post in the photo, which Facebook removed. She said Obama fought hard for legislation for partial birth abortion. Look at a photo of what that is. I'm going to put a link to this article on my Line of Fire page, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. And it goes on with other examples of Facebook doing the same thing. But listen to this. 83% of Americans, according to recent polls, want more restriction on abortion. We need, friends, with a radically pro-abortion president, with a radically pro-abortion platform in the Democratic Party, the victorious Democratic Party in the last election, but yet with a continuing shift in American sentiments regarding abortion, especially among the younger generation, the college-age generation that is so largely pro-same-sex marriage and quote, gay rights, they're undergoing a shift when it comes to abortion. People would have thought this would have happened 20, 30 years ago, but you better believe it's happening. But I want to say this as candidly as I can, as plainly as I can. There's only one reason that we're still aborting more than 1 million babies a year here in America. There's only one reason. There is only one reason, and that is the apathy of the church. Friends, if one-tenth of the born again... No. One-one-hundredth. If one-one-hundredth of the born again population of America got involved on a weekly basis in praying, in reaching out in front of abortion mills, in getting involved in crisis pregnancy centers, in working constructively in the local church to give hope to mothers and families, to get involved more in adoption, to do the various things that we could do, to stand as witnesses in front of buildings where little babies are being killed in the womb and to offer hope and to speak the truth in love. If 1/100th of the Church of America got involved with this on a weekly basis, we would see the end of legalized abortion on demand in our nation. Oh, no, it's not going to be a million a year that are going to be killed in some back alley abortion and the mother's killed in the process too. No, we would have a turning to a culture of life in a much deeper and more profound way. Can I encourage you to go to this website, citiesforlife.org, 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 and take a look there, find out things that you can do constructively to make a difference, and look at what's happening in Charlotte. We have work to do in Charlotte, but by God's grace and the faithfulness of those who've labored for years here, we are seeing progress and breakthroughs. Please call this number right now, 1-800-278-9978. All this week from Hong Kong, we're sending out free the most important message I've ever preached in my life based on one Hebrew word. I've preached this around the world, and people remember it many years later. It impacts them forever. It's free on a CD to listen to on your computer, MP3 player. Those that can help with a gift, please do so. But please, each of you, call and get this while we're sending it out free. 1-800-278-9978. Free and postage paid. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, it is not too late for a culture of life to rise in America, where abortion on demand and the legacy of Roe v. Wade becomes a distant, ugly memory of our past. We can turn the tide.